You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Yes, Lord. Isn't He holy? He's so holy. And for all eternity, we will be declaring, "Holy, holy are you, Lord." So let's start now. Let's just do it now. Let's just do it daily, moment by moment, living in that revelation of the holiness of God, His holiness. Lord, teach us what that is. We think we know, we dream, we assume, we guess, Father. But this morning I thank you that your spirit of revelation is here, Lord God, imparting to us, Lord, what that really means, Lord God, and what it means to live a life fully aware and fully awake to the truth that you are holy, Lord, that you are holy, holy, holy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Kings. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, let's continue to carry this. Hi, buddy. Continue to carry His sweet presence into the rest of our time here together. A couple of things that are going on, and Carly's going to share with us some of those highlights.
So I think everyone that is here is aware that we have a mission team in Mozambique, Africa. If you're not aware of that, we do. We're very excited about it. There's 13 here from Frontline USA and 2 from Frontline Brazil. So that's really exciting. They've been there for about a week and a half and still have a week and a half to go. So today is the halfway point on their trip. So we really appreciate everyone that has partnered with us in prayer for that team. We ask that you would continue to do so throughout the remainder of the trip and even after they're home. And we do have some updates to share with you. So there are some we shared on Tuesday. If you weren't here, you can get those at our website. And feel free to continue checking the website. They upload them as they're able to while they're there. So this is, for the first time ever, we loaded up an ox cart with our sound equipment and headed out to set up for a crusade. Notice they called it an ox cart. Next picture, please. Literally, it was being pulled by an ox, which is just really, really fun and cool, I think. Okay, go ahead. Pastor Mary Pat preached the gospel before the Jesus film. It was so awesome to see the Holy Spirit draw people into relationship even before the movie. Thank you, Lord. Such a special place to see Jesus move in an amazing way. Then next one. This special group of people came to the crusade as orphans but left as children of the Most High God. Next one. Just imagine hearing about the God of the impossible and His 700 names and titles for the first time. And here, powerful preaching on Jehovah Rapha, Jesus our healer. This one is set free. Nope. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Set free, delivered, and a new creature in Christ Jesus. These precious children of God renounced all witchcraft practices to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Thank you, God. Then this woman was healed of knee pain that had lasted for 5 years. This woman was healed of leg pain. Hands shoot up during a crusade in Mamboni when a salvation call was given by Pastor Bill. So we've been to Mamboni before. It's familiar to some of you. 500 people confess Jesus as Lord and Savior in Mamboni. Then a typical night under the stars with some of God's precious children. It was a turning point in the spirit as many came into the kingdom as well as renounced witchcraft practices. That's an awesome picture. Mamboni, again, Tiana shares about the story of creation all the way to Jesus' death on a cross. And Amanda shares the heart of Jesus with our friends in Mamboni. Powerful preaching from Pastor Mary Pat. Ready to catch fish. Look at that canoe. That's something else. The road to our next destination, souls. The bridge taking us to our next destination in Beira, where two cyclones made landfall last March and April. There's another picture, I'm guessing, of a bridge being rebuilt. Looks like they're getting some work done on the van there. Wow, that doesn't have a caption, but it speaks for itself. Look at all those people at a crusade. Thank you, Lord. The weight of sin will keep us from our Father in heaven. Bad news turned to good as the gospel was shared. Yes, Lord. On fire, evangelism and preaching. That's our Pastor Bill, beloved papa of the house, over there tearing it up in Mozambique. Hundreds of people that will never be the same after bending their knee to Jesus. There's another picture of the crowd. Oh, let the little children come unto me. It's kind of hard to see up on that screen, but it's a really precious little baby swaddled in his mommy's capilano. Back pain gone, Jesus heals again. Anticipation for the fire tunnel that would soon begin. If you're not familiar with the fire tunnel, basically there's two lines of people that pray for other people that as they go through, I'm guessing they were doing this with a group in the community, and you just pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come and fill them up. It's a lot of fun. The presence of God was strong, and many received a fresh outpouring of joy. Oh, hungry hearts receiving prayer for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Can you see a nation changer in this picture? Awesome. And that's back to the beginning of CISA, Sunshine Area Soccer Academy in Maputo. Again, if you weren't here on Tuesday, feel free to check out those at our website, frontline-ministries.org. If you go to the media page, Image Galleries, Mozambique 2019. So we can see that God is really moving strongly there. They did make it up to the north. Where the cyclones hit, I was hoping to get another picture up that Jordan sent me just of a building that was partially destroyed. So it is right there. That was their heart's desire this year to go up to an area that we hadn't really been to before in order to minister to those who had lost so much during those cyclones. And Jordan's comment on it was that there's a lot of destruction, but the church is still going strong there. So I'm just praising God for the faithful believers and for the many more that are to come. So Lord, I just thank you, God, for what you're doing in the nation of Mozambique. I lift up our team once again, and we speak a continued hedge of protection over them. Lord, we just pray for continued health for each and every team member, as well as no more car problems or anything else, Lord, that they would get to all of their destinations in your perfect timing and in your way, God. And I thank you for the lives that are being touched, for the souls that are being impacted and being drawn into your kingdom, God. That is no small thing. And we're excited to hear the report, God. We're excited to see the salvations. We're excited to hear about the healings. God, we know that you are bringing fruit that remains in the nation of Mozambique, that even after our team comes home, your word will continue to spread as it's been doing through the people that have been touched on this trip. So we thank you for that, God. We just worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. We also have some very exciting things going on here as well. In August, we have our Greenlight Missions trip. So that is our local missions trip here in Stark County for the school-age children here. And we have a video to show for that. Rachel, are you able to? I think it's on that computer because we showed it last week. Well, we'll work on getting that one up. Otherwise, we also have, if you didn't grab a bulletin or you didn't get one on your way in, there's some on the table in the foyer. They have some other upcoming events. In September, On September 7th, we have our Freedom Cry Anti-Human Trafficking Conference. So that's a day where we bring in a lot of different speakers, some from the prosecutor's office, from the FBI. We often have trafficking survivors. So we know we're going to have some new speakers this year. We're trusting the Lord for that, and we're very excited. It's free and open to the public, so it's really just a day to, for everyone to come in to learn about the atrocity of human trafficking and what we can do to help to be a part of seeing an end to that. And then also coming up in October, the 3rd through the 6th, we have our Relentless Pursuit Conference, which we've been doing for a number of years. It's incredible. We have speakers come from all over the world, the ones that we partner with when we go overseas. Often Pastor Jose Novella from Mozambique, Pastor Samuel from Ghana, Pastor Dirceu from Brazil. I'm not sure who all we're going to have this year. Last year we also had Brother Yun from originally from China come and share his incredible testimony of being persecuted for his faith. So it's really a wonderful time to just engage with the Lord and be built up and challenged in our faith. So we're hoping to get the information about all that out soon, but feel free to start spreading the word and inviting people. So, all right. Oh, yes, that's a good thing to remember. So the Greenlight Missions trip, the dates are August 9th, 10th, and 11th. So, again, the video will share about that. But on the 11th, that's a Sunday, we'll have church at the Larson House. So this is Rachel. These are her awesome boys, at least three of them. And her hubby, Troy, is over in Mozambique. If you don't know where their house is, feel free to come and talk to her. You can get the address. It'll still be 10:30 a.m. We'll be setting up outside if the weather's nice. And we did that last year as a culmination of the kids' mission trip, and it was a lot of fun. So we're excited to do that again, to hear the testimonies of what God did that weekend, and just be able to worship the Lord together there. Okay, we'll show that video after the message. Take it away, Rachel.
All right, Kingdom Kids, you may go to class. And so, good morning, good morning. I see you're all strategically seated in front of the big fan. But I want you to know, if you come up in the front rows, you can actually feel these little fans. There is a breeze. You guys can feel free to move forward if you want to. Let me get my water. I don't know what the temperature is, but to all of you who are listening on the recording, we are the brave and the proud that are here this morning. And we had a great time worshiping the Lord in the midst of it. So. Thank you, guys. That makes me feel so happy. Everybody's moving up. See, there is breeze, right? You can feel it? All right. Well, I was asked to speak this week while the Mozambique team is gone, and our pastors are ministering, like you saw, and my husband's over there as well. And when I've spoken a few times. The first time I was ever asked, I actually had an idea already that was on my heart, and that was the easiest. And then since then, when I've been asked, it's been more of an adventure with the Lord to hear what he's saying. And so when I was asked to speak, I had not a message on my heart, and so asking the Lord, and all I saw was an image, as sometimes the Lord speaks to us in pictures and images. So I saw an image of a box of nails. And it was very clear, and I, you know, believe that was the Lord, but that was all I had, an image of a box of nails. And that's all I had for several days. And so, but I believe that the Lord has a message about that that he's, you know, revealed to me. So I just want to take a minute and pray over that. So, Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord, that you want to release this morning. Father, we're just here to hear from you, Lord, and to have you, your life stirred up with inside of us, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord. We just pray, Lord, I give myself to you, Lord, that you can direct it any way you want, Father. And, Father, I thank you for your life, Lord God, and your goodness, Lord, that's going to be released this morning. Amen. So last week, Lawrence was preaching from Psalm, what was the Psalm again? 34, and speaking about many, he went many places in the Bible. In fact, as I was listening, I'm like, hey, not leaving anything else for us. But he focused a lot on the life of David and how David was one who worshipped and worshipped regardless of the circumstances, and that's how he was able to keep his heart in the place that was in Psalm 34. And so as I was thinking about what the Lord was speaking to us last week and what he wanted to speak this week, and considering the box of nails that he had shown, and the sense that I got in my heart when he showed me that picture was that the phrase builder, you're a builder, you know, that we are builders. And so as I was pondering that, it suddenly dawned on me that following David's life is where you see Solomon building the temple. And I had been thinking through different examples in the Bible of people who built things, and it hadn't occurred to me until, you know, after several days of thinking about this, that Solomon's temple, talking about the building of a temple, and so the Lord started to unfold things from there. So so the first verse I want to show on the screen is Psalms 127:1. So as I was considering building, the first thing that's so important to consider is that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And so I was just, this is the foundation, you know, as we're talking about building for the Lord, building in the Lord, you know, that that it's the Lord who builds the house. And that's the foundation that we want to realize, that it's needs to be directed by him. And Pastor Bill has preached about building our own kingdom versus building the Lord's kingdom. And I just see it so clearly in Solomon's temple when we look at it, and compared to some other things. But to back it up a little, while I was considering all of this this week, also my son happened to get the book out of the library about the building of the Empire State Building. So Isaac read it first, and then I read it, and then Levi wanted me to read it to him. So we were reading through how they built the Empire State Building, which was actually pretty amazing, and they did it. They were supposed to do it in a year and a half. They set themselves that goal from demolishing the Waldorf Astoria Hotel was originally on that location. Then they had moved. So they had this huge hotel that they had to demolish and build, the highest building in the whole world, in a year and a half. And so they actually finished ahead of schedule because it was so well organized and so well laid out. And all kinds of things came into play there. The Great Depression started from the time they had already laid the plans to, you know, the completion. The Great Depression was in there, and so many different things. But just reading about how these people erected the tallest building in the world, with back then they didn't have, you know, the machinery and equipment that we have. They were demolishing walls by standing on top of them and jumping off before they crumbled. They were the riveters. It was talking about how there's you have to, when you're working with steel beams, you have to put the bolts in while they're red hot, and then they'll and all of you who know this are nodding, you have to shoot them into the steel before they're cool, and then they just become one thing, but they have to be red hot first. So they worked in teams of four that trained together and always worked together. You had one person on the ground with these red hot rivets who would then fling them up to 75 feet up to a man who would catch them in an old paint can, and who would pass them to the guy who would put it where it goes, and then another guy would shoot it in. And just these things about, you know, how they did all this. And ahead of schedule, and, you know, with a building that's still amazing today. And it was saying how even though there's other buildings that are now higher, that the Empire State Building is still the most, you know, loved building in New York, and even in all the world. It receives multiple times more visitors than even the other tallest buildings, and the tallest one is in Dubai, I think, at the moment. But the Empire State Building still gets more visitors every year than any of those other buildings. And so it was just considering how and it talked about the race to, you know, build skyscrapers at that time, and how it's in the heart of men to build, you know, that we're always, you know, there's a desire to go and to go higher. And if you even see little kids, you know, the real little kids, when they're building blocks, they don't care about building like a large city. They want to build the highest tower. You know, they just want to stack them on one on top of each other as high as they can go, you know, and see how high they can get. And so just seeing how like that's in our, what God has put within us. But yet how it needs to be, directed by the Lord, you know, that if unless he builds it, it's meaningless. And so looking at comparing the building of Solomon's temple, and then I was also considering the Tower of Babel, which is the other one, right, where they were like, we want to go as high as we can go. Let's do it. And so in Solomon's temple, there's several different places and references that talk about it, because you have 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings that talk about David. It's all a little bit, you know, they kind of go through the same timeline, the same story, so you guys can read into it. But 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David is talking to Solomon, giving him the commissioning, you know, to build the temple of Solomon. So what happened was David was the anointed king over Israel, and up until that time, Israel had been carrying the presence of God in what's called the Ark of the Covenant, and had been carrying that with them. It was the presence of God with them, but they didn't have a physical temple where that was planted, you know, where the glory of God was going to dwell. And so it was in David's heart to build the Lord a temple. He said, why do I have a house of cedar when, you know, you don't have a house? And the Lord came to him and said, you know, that I didn't ask for this, but this was in your heart. But nevertheless, it's going to be your son who's coming after you that's going to walk in my ways, and he's going to be the one to build the temple. And that son was Solomon. And David was more of a contender through his life. He was a warrior. He was battling, you know, different people that were coming against him for most of his life. And because of that, it wasn't for him to build the temple, but it was for Solomon, because by the time Solomon came, the land was established. It was peaceful the whole time of Solomon's reign. And he was able to commit that time and that effort into building up the kingdom and building up the temple. And so the whole circumstances surrounding the building of Solomon's temple, it's like favor poured out and poured out and poured out. And because it was God's idea, it says in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 12 and verses 19, David's saying that, the Lord gave me these plans. The Lord put this in my heart. And he has very detailed plans that he hands over to Solomon. It's all, you know, this shall be this much cubits, and this is how it should be laid out. And the temple had a very strategic plan that was a foreshadowing of our relationship with the Lord, with the, you know, outermost court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, and everything that was in it. It was very detailed, but it was given from the Lord to David, it says. And then David passes it on to Solomon. And not only does he pass on the plans that are from the Lord, but David also wanted to, it was so on his heart to do it that he had already amassed lumber and gold and things to give to Solomon to build it. So he's saying, my son Solomon, you know, is young and inexperienced, so I need to, I'm going to gather this stuff for him and pass it on. So Solomon comes along and he gets handed, you know, this vision from God and all of these resources, you know, to do it. And then Solomon has to then go forth, and he had to, you know, more resources were needed. There's thousands of people that were involved in the working of this, and different countries, you know, providing things. And, but such favor on it because it was from the Lord, because it was a combination of David's heart working together, you know, to hear the vision of God, to see, you know, the dreams of heaven, and to bring it to pass. And then it also says it blessed not only David and Solomon, but the people. In 1 Kings 8, it says, 1 Chronicles 29, it says that David asked the people to give to the temple, and they offered their gold and other things willingly. They were joyfully and glad, you know, glad to give to the Lord. And then at the end of the account of the temple's built, took 7 years, and then they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. They worship the Lord. The glory of the Lord fills the temple. This is the story where the glory comes in, and the ministers can't even worship or minister because of the glory of the Lord. They're on their face. Solomon dedicates it to the Lord. And at the end, they have, I think it's 14 days of feasting and celebration. And then at the end of this, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done. So it was a blessing, not only to the leaders of this, but the whole nation of Israel was blessed, you know, because of this building, this amazing, beautiful building that was filled with the glory of the Lord, you know, that was had his favor on it. And then you look at the Tower of Babel, which was in Genesis, right after the flood of Noah. Noah's children had children, and they're spreading out over the earth, and then, well, they're all still kind of in one location, and they say to one another, let us make a home, a name for ourselves, and, you know, build this high tower. And so just comparing that, you know, we're saying it to each other, where this is an idea that we come up with, this is something that we want to do, and we want the glory to come to us. You know, we want to make, it's for us, it's for, to make a name for ourselves, to say, hey, I built the tallest building, you know, just like the Empire State Building, I built the tallest one, you know, that was the goal. They achieved it. The Tower of Babel, they did not achieve it, because it says the Lord came down and put a stop to it. He scattered them. He gave them different languages at that point, so they couldn't work together. And instead, they scattered over the earth because it wasn't something that was of the Lord. It wasn't to glorify the Lord. It wasn't going to be a blessing for the people. And so the Lord put a stop to it. So considering this verse, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So just keeping that as we talk about the rest of this morning, that we want to have what's in our hearts, what we're working towards, what we're putting our energy for, you know, what we're allowing the Lord to do through us, be something that's the Lord is building and that we are partnering in with, you know, not something that we've come up with and are trying to do in our own strength or to glorify us, but to glorify the Lord. And that's what David said. Oh, we have somebody special entering the house. Everybody pause. You say, welcome, it's baby Lily. Welcome, welcome. There she is. She's coming. Is you? <yeah. laughs> Yay. She's beautiful. Welcome. Nothing like all eyes on you when you walk in. So, well, we're excited for another little person in this house, so yay. So, my first thought is that the work of the Lord is surrounded by favor. When it's from the Lord, it's surrounded by favor, and it blesses everybody involved. The people working, the people, you know, that are around, there's favor. And then my second thought is that the work of the Lord is both corporate and personal. So it was blessing everybody in the nation of Israel, but it also was a process that David and Solomon were working through that increased their intimacy with the Lord. You know, it was both corporate and personal. And if you move to Ephesians 2, this is where the Lord's taking it from just the Old Testament, which is building a place for the Lord. You know, when Solomon was dedicating the temple to the Lord, he said, who am I to build you a house? You're the Lord of heaven and earth. How could I contain you? Yet I want to have this place as a house of worship so that your name will be lifted up and all the nations will see that you are the only Lord. I'm paraphrasing that. But he was saying, this, you know, this house is to glorify you and to let the nations know that you are the one true God. And so if you go over to the New Testament, Ephesians, where everything is moving from the physical representation and the outside representation of what God is doing to the inner heart. That's what Jesus took the covenant, and he made it inscribed on our hearts. He wrote it on our hearts by dying on the cross for us. So in Ephesians 2, it talks a lot. The whole chapter is awesome. In fact, the book of Ephesians is my favorite book in the whole Bible, so you can delve into the whole thing forever. Let me open my Bible there. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." My phone up here? Phone. If you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, verses 19, this is the Passion Translation, which is uses different words, but is expressing the same thing from the original language. "So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you." As I was reading through Ephesians 2, it's talking about how we are made alive in Christ because of his sacrifice, that when we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, because of the riches of his mercy, he brought us together with Christ, and that because Jesus died on the cross for us, he took away that separation that was between us and him, and that was between the Jewish people that had his covenant and those who didn't, and he brought them together into one body, and he joined us with him, connected us with him, and is growing us into a temple of the Lord. And we personally also says that we are temples of the Lord. Just like in the Solomon's day, when that temple was to be a declaration to the world of the awesomeness of the Lord. At the same place, we as the church are created to declare, you know, that there is one true God and that he's amazing and that he's worthy. And that's the same with our lives individually. We are temples of the Lord to be a dwelling place for him, that we can declare to the earth that he is amazing, that he's worthy, that he's the one true God. And this takes place, this building of this temple, the building of the church as a whole, and the building of our lives as a personal temple, is so amazing how it interconnects between, it's not like we have to focus on ourselves to the exclusion of the body, or we have to focus on the body to the exclusion of ourselves, but that we grow together, that the Lord is growing us up based on himself as the cornerstone. So the cornerstone is, you know, I've heard that all my life, but had to look it up a little bit. But it's a large, solid, flat stone that would be used in the corner of a building to anchor two of the walls together, and it would set the angle at which they would build. So you want it flat and strong, and it would be the foundation. And one person said that example would make perfect sense to the people in the Bible because they built their own homes. They built their own dwelling places, which some of us don't build. I confess that when my children want me to do building things with them, I'm usually saying no or put it off or try to, "Why don't you ask Dad about that?" You know. And but recently we discovered the hot glue gun. It actually, on the cool setting, it's great to work with kids. You just, you know, put glue on there, stick things together, they stick. No, you don't have to have like a certain plan or fit things in well. You just stick them on with hot glue. Because I am not actually a builder. But knowing that when we are building on the chief cornerstone of the Lord, you know, that He is our foundation, that we're growing up. It's laid as a foundation so that more can be built on top. You know, that we're not just stopping at the cross and at His resurrection, but we're building into this body of Christ who's showing His glory to the world. And Ephesians 2:7 in the Passion Translation. I lost my guy at the. He's getting water, hydration. Talks about that, how we're displaying the glory of the Lord. So Ephesians 2:7 says. Oh, he doesn't have the Passion Translation. You have to listen as I read it. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. So I'll read it one more time. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. So we're building towards this, towards bringing people into the kingdom of God, towards sharing, you know, His glory on the earth, towards building up the church and reaching out to the lost and letting our own lives become this reflection, that we would be the visible display of how good God is and how kind He is towards us. And so, and it's all... it's laid out for us that we have a part in this. If you look at Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And again, if you look at the Passion Translation for that one, it says that the word workmanship can be translated poetry. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So that the Lord has a place for each of us in this process of His glory being, you know, raised, of His church being built. You know, that there's things that He has specifically set planned for us to do, that He created each of us specifically for those things. You know, that we all are capable of many things, you know, beyond what we know or, you know, have thought we could step into by the grace of God. But also He specifically created things in each of us that are beautiful, that are for the building up of His church, that are for, you know, the displaying of His glory. And that's in each of us. And so I just felt like with that box of nails, that the Lord wants to call that builderness within each of us, call it out and say, you know, you were created before you were born, in advance, there's good works, you know, set forth that God has for you to do and to, you know, to rise up and to step into those, not for a name, to make a name for ourselves, but for the glory of God, to step into these things. And so, as we're considering that, knowing that the work of the Lord is also carried out through intimacy. There's two verses, I don't know if I'll read them now because of time, but if you look at, let me just give them to you. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18. Well, I'm going to turn there. Maybe. Does anybody have it while I'm looking for it? Oh, hey, look at that. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18. This is following a long description of how we're the temple of the Lord and how we need to be conscious of that and not align ourselves with other things. So, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And so this fits into this talk about the temple, that we're the temple. And so here's the Lord saying that we're the temple, that we're supposed to, you know, be holy, that we're supposed to keep ourselves set apart. And then he also says, you know, you're my sons and my daughters, that I'm a father to you, and you're going to be walking with me. So we're not a temple where there's, you know, a far off God, but we're a temple where the Lord is living in us. He's joined, you know, in one spirit with us, that we are walking in intimacy with him. And what was so amazing is in 1 Chronicles 22, 9 and 10, he uses the same language with Solomon, saying that, you know, he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and he will establish his throne. So there was, with Solomon as well, there's the intimacy there. It wasn't just a project put forth because I'm the king of the nation, and, you know, we'll do this to make our nation great. But it was a walk of intimacy with the Lord, that where he was Solomon's father and Solomon was his son, and he was doing this as an act of love and an act of worship, you know. And so knowing that the work of the Lord is carried out through intimacy. So the work of the Lord is surrounded by favor. The work of the Lord is both corporate and personal. And the work of the Lord is carried out through intimacy. And then one more point was brought to my heart, is that the work of the Lord is multi-generational. And when I was looking at how David was able to pass those plans on to Solomon, that it was something that was conceived in his heart with the Lord, and he did what he could. He did everything, you know, that he was allowed and able to do to set those plans into motion. And then he was able to pass them into the hands of somebody who the Lord had ordained to carry it out. And so I just felt the Lord saying that that's the same thing with this work of building up the church, of reaching out to the lost, and of being, you know, temples to glorify the Lord. That it's multi-generational. It doesn't start and end with us, you know, but that the Lord has a plan for things to be passed on, and that his visions would be handled rightly, you know, between the generations, and to do more than one person can do alone. And so I was just reminded of, you know, how blessed we are in this house to be carrying out, you know, the visions of Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, who have been such an example of this work of a builder, of getting a vision from the Lord, and being able to carry it out through intimacy and faith, you know, and how we've been able to grab hold of that and come into that and under that in so many ways, and to see the Lord developing that vision within us then, and how we are also, you know, that our natural heart's desire is to pass that on to the children. You know, that's why Greenlight Missions and other things were developed, because of what the Lord has done, you know, in our hearts and in my heart personally, from seeing what the Lord has done in their heart, and being able to be part of the building process, the work of the Lord, you know, all that with them, and to get that impartation, and then, you know, to also want to see the children also to rise up into that, and just seeing how the work just builds, you know, that it's building and building, and excited to see, you know, what the Lord, his plans are, not only for my own life, not only for, you know, this ministry, but for our kids' lives, and what it's going to look like, and what it's going to look like at the end. You know, I'm so excited to see that. But even seeing that in this passage, you know, that the Lord's reminding us, like, it doesn't just start and end with you, but we're positioned to receive, and we're positioned, you know, to carry that out and do the work. You know, Solomon couldn't just sit, just rest with what David had done. He had to go out and spend 7 years coordinating, you know, all of this and negotiating with other nations to get the things, and having, you know, thousands of workers under him, and bringing in skilled bronze people and gold people and musicians and all of that. And then he was, you know, setting in place the worship, where there was worship going on, where there was, you know, sacrifice, where the people were being taught and being able to connect with the Lord. So we're in this place of receiving, yet also our own effort and our own, you know, jumping into that is important. You know, that God has those works prepared for us, for me, for you. It's not just, you know, us as a whole, you know, we have this vision. But no, we specifically each have things that the Lord has for us to fit into that and then pass on and see build. And so it just... know that the Lord this morning wants to speak that into you guys, that you guys are part of the building of this body of Christ, and the building of the temple of the Lord, where we can show his glory on the earth, you know, where the people who don't know the Lord can look at the body of Christ and say, wow, you know, you are the only God, you're the only one, you know, the one true God that's alive, that you're moving. Look, you're so amazing. That our throwing ourselves into that and letting the Lord stir us up in that is what he has for us. And I was just reminded that in the temple, you know, they use gold, they use bronze, they use precious stones. You know, it wasn't just the cheapest thing they could find, or the wood, or the, you know, but they decorated it because of the Lord. And that I was thinking, you know, for us as the living stones, you know, of this temple, that the Lord wants you to know that you're a precious stone, and that it's time to be, you know, it's time to shine in that. And at the beginning of Ephesians 2, it says, that we have been made alive in him, you know, that, and in the Passion Translation it says something cool too, but that we've been made alive in him, so that, and thinking how are we going to be, you know, precious stones that are shining, you know, that are a testimony to the Lord, like how does this all come to pass? But it's because taking hold of that life that he's given us, you know, that we are fully alive in him if we've received Jesus as our peace, as our one who broke down the dividing wall, you know, between us and the Lord, and we've been joined with him, and we are one with him in spirit, and we carry that life inside of us, you know, that as we are just living, as we are living and letting him stir that up inside of us and be fully alive and put our hands to the things that he has, you know, given us to do, and fully put in our hearts, or, you know, is directing us to, or it's just put in front of us, you know, that's how we're going to build a temple that's going to bring glory to the Lord. And so in my journal, I was looking back, and that mission training weekend this year was in April, and I was there because I'm going to be part of the Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire mission team. And so I had this written down in my journal. At some point during the weekend, I had seen a picture of myself on the top of a mountain. But I was looking down, not at, you know, the end of the mountain, but there was a whole mountain range that was unfolding in front of me. And it was like green wooded mountains. It was, you know, lush and vast is what I wrote. Looking down at a lush, vast mountain range that unfolded in front of me. And I heard the Lord say that there's so much more to come. And so that's true, that there's so much more, you know, that we've maybe see ourselves on the top of a mountain, or maybe we see ourselves, you know, barely climbing up, or just looking at the mountain like, ah. But whatever it is, the Lord, beyond that, there's a vast mountain range unfolding that the Lord has coming our way, and even, you know, as this house, that there's so much more to come, he's saying. And so let's rise to meet it as ones who are walking intimate with the Lord, who are hearing his voice and, you know, walking forward with his plans so that there's favor surrounding us, and who are letting the Lord connect us with that, you know, both with our own hearts and also as a body, and then, you know, doing it, seeing how the Lord's going to do it multi-generationally. And so the last thing I want to leave you with is in 1 Chronicles 22:16. This is one of the charges that David gives to Solomon in building the temple. And he says, he actually gets to do this a couple times because there's a couple different accounts that say this, and each one is awesome. But this verse is what stood out to me. 1 Chronicles 22:16. It says, "Of gold and silver and bronze and iron, there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you." I love that. It's coming from David to his son. You know, he's saying, I've got this whole, you know, mass of treasure for you. It's all here, you know, and there's more to come. "Of gold and silver and bronze and iron, there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you." And so I just want to release that over to you guys today that, you know, the Lord's just calling us to step up, to be fully alive, you know, to let him shine through us so that we are the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness that he has showered upon us in Jesus Christ. So he says, "Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you." So, Father, I just thank you for this word today, Lord. I thank you that you are with us, Father, and that, Lord, it's not something that means toil and hardship, Lord God, but it's an invitation, Lord, to step up with you, to be fully alive with you, Lord, to hear your voice and follow it. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with us in this, Lord, that it's intimacy. It's a process of intimacy, Lord God, that the building, even in the building, Lord, that you are there, that it's your idea from the first to the last. Father, you are the one who paved the way for us, Lord. You are the one who opens the doors for us, Lord. You are the one who provides the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron, Lord. And you say there is no limit, Father. So we just step into that limitless grace, that limitless mercy, Father, that you have, the riches of your mercy, the riches of your grace, the abundance of your love, Lord. And we just say, yes, Father, we want to be a visible display of your kindness, of your goodness, Lord. So we just thank you this morning. We bless you. And, okay, I'll read it. So Francis Chan, I was reading the You and Me Forever book, and I actually flipped it open to page 106. Now, this book is about marriage, and we've used it, I think, for people getting married. But I wanted to read it again just as a mom to think about raising a family and how that works. But I opened it up to page 106. This is by Francis Chan. And it says, "You were created for this mission. God made you for a reason. Like a toaster, stoplight, or aircraft carrier, you were designed a specific way for a specific purpose. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10. "God set this course for you beforehand. God told the prophet Jeremiah that his course was set even before he was born. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah 1:5. "You are different than everyone else on earth for a reason. And you have a supernatural gift to offer the church." And then he goes on, skipping a couple paragraphs. "We have all gone through periods in life when we've thought, this can't be all there is. You feel trapped in meaningless routine, and everything in you knows you were created for more. Life might be fun, and relationships might be good, but you know something deeper is missing. You sense that you were created for more. You want to experience a deeper communion with God where the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you undeniably. You want to touch God rather than merely talk about him. You long for a knowledge of God that goes beyond your intellect, the kind of deep knowledge that only comes from experience. This happens only when you are on his mission. His love and power flow through you to others as you seek to bring them into his kingdom. There is nothing like it, and there is no other way to get it. So as we leave this morning, just want to leave you with that. That as we seek to bring people into his kingdom, that's where this life that he's talking about is found. So bless you. We have the Green Light Missions video to talk about that, going out and sharing love with people.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.